This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Time to go back in the old Rolodex. One of my good friends from when I lived down in Dallas, Mike Leslie, who covers the team for WFAA, the ABC affiliate down there. He joins us every year when these two teams square off or when there's other nonsense Cowboys Nation. It was very tempting to call you, Mike, earlier this year when you and one of the Cowboys players had a little misunderstanding that resulted in you getting handed a can of nuts that I don't know that we can talk about in more depth on the radio without getting in trouble with the FCC. Good to talk to you, my friend.
It sounds to me like the bit that you played right before you came back from break that I need in on whatever you're having to have a little feel good going on this afternoon. Or is that from today, or is that old audio?
No, that's an old one. That was about a year ago, probably, or so. And Anthony gave me a look because I bought a pack of gummy bears in the market at our office, and then had the audacity to just call them gummies. And the point is, Mike, you've had a weird year covering the Dallas Cowboys. That's what we're talking about. Stay focused. Yeah. I would ask this to get started on a baseline level. Like, did you expect this to be a bad year of Dallas Cowboys football when it all started?
I did not think it was going to be this bad. I did think that they were going to take a step back, but I said before the season that I thought there's still enough talent here between Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs and Deron Bland and on and on and on, that they should still at least be a competitive football team. I picked them to go 10-7. Said, I don't know that that's going to be good enough to win the NFC East, but I think they got a chance to be a playoff team this year. So I thought they were going to take a step back, but a small step back. I did not see a team that is almost assuredly going to be 3-8 come Sunday afternoon. No, I did not pick this.
So I think one of the interesting things when I watch them defensively, and I'll give my co-host on on the Take Command podcast, Logan Paulson, credit, because he deserves it. And he played in the NFL, and I get to talk to him twice a week and get paid for it, which is a sweet gig. Three times a week, actually. But don't forget the postgame show, everybody. He said he feels like Dallas is playing defensively like a team that's still learning the defense, which would be fine if this was week three or week four, because they have a new coordinator. That is the reality. But as they moved on from Dan Quinn, not by their choice, as Quinn came here to DC and brought in Mike Zimmer, what has been kind of the big issue or the big issues in them adapting, where it still doesn't feel like they quite know what they're supposed to do, snap in, snap out, double digit weeks into an NFL season?
Yeah, listen, I think the first issue, to be fair to this football team, has been injury. When you lose Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence in the same football game for extended stretches, that does matter. And prior to that game against the Giants, which was week four, looking like they were a defense that was still figuring out what the heck they're doing in Mike Zimmer's system weeks one, two, and three, like you said, is, you know, at least on some degree explainable. Now, looking as bad as they did against the Ravens and Saints is harder to explain, especially a Saints team that then, after they ran roughshod over the Cowboys, lost seven games in a row and fired their head coach. That one's really hard to explain. But those first couple of weeks, okay, sure. New system, still figuring out what the heck you're supposed to do, what your responsibility is, all of that, fine. And then you lose Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence. You haven't had Deron Bland all season. Like, there are reasons why the defense has not been as good. And I do feel like they played a lot better against Philadelphia. They gave up 31 points in that game, and it didn't really feel like a fair assessment of how they played in that game, because they were handed a card with the offense playing basically the antithesis of complimentary football in that game. The offense went eight straight possessions basically from late second quarter through the finish of that football game, where there were three three and outs, three turnovers. They didn't have a possession that lasted longer than five plays. The defense was back on the field every time you turned your head. So the fact that they only gave up 31 almost feels like, hey, you did a decent job to at least kind of somewhat hold back like you're the 300 in King Leonidas. This has been a ridiculous football season for this team. Again, injuries are partially to blame and something of an explanation, but at the end of the day, it all comes back to the offseason that they had, and the offseason that they had was completely insufficient to stock the shelves with any semblance of depth, and the moment they did have these injuries, they were completely cooked.
Do you have Mike Leslie, WFAA Dallas, with us here on the Hoffman Show? Do you have any reason to believe that there is any kind of wake-up call that has happened in the Jones household that this isn't good enough, that whatever they did isn't going to work? Because they did win, coming into the season, 12 games 3 years in a row. I could see why they're like, eh, people can say what they want, but like, we clearly know what we're doing. Look at the last three seasons. This year, everything everyone predicted is coming true. So what do you think Jerry Jones at the age of 82 does with that information?
Well, there's a lot of conjecture down this way that the season they're having is of their design. That they said, you know what? We're going to sign the quarterback. We're going to sign the wide receiver. We're going to spend a whole bunch of money this year. We are going to let our coaching staff coach their way through a lame duck season with a roster that's not going to be terribly sufficient, and move on from that coaching staff and try and stir this thing back up in 2025. And if that was their plan, it's working brilliantly, because this is not a good football team. I don't know that that really was their plan. I'm not sure that that's really what's going on here, but it has, there are reasons to point at what they've done and think that it's at least a plausibility that that was the plan, because they have nothing in the way of any real depth. Their offensive line is in tatters. It is, in some way, shape, or form, it was always going to be inevitable that at some point this moment was going to come for Zach Martin, because it comes for everybody. But it does feel like this moment has come for Zach Martin, and Father Time has finally won out, and he's not the same player that he was for the vast majority of what is a no doubt Hall of Fame career. He just doesn't look like the same dude anymore. And you combine that with two rookies on the offensive line, one of which in Tyler Guyton, who has struggled mightily. Cooper Beebe's actually been decent at the center position as a rookie, in a position that he never played before, so he's to be commended for a reasonably solid effort this year. But other than that, Tyler Smith has been good. Tyler Smith's really the only offensive lineman that I would truly apply a good descriptor to. The rest of the bunch has struggled significantly, and if you can't move bodies up front, nothing else really matters. And then in addition to that, they really only have CeeDee Lamb in the way of an actual offensive weapon for Dak Prescott, or now Cooper Rush, to utilize. So they just don't have a whole heck of a lot, and it's showing.
Yeah, to say the least. Last question I'll ask you, Mike. The circus for Jerry is, he's always welcomed it. He's kind of the any attention is good attention school of thought. Whether that's correct or not is clearly up for debate. But there are times, and I know this from working down there, like, there are times that Jerry has done that in the past on purpose, where the team is not playing well. He will just step out and do something so that we all talk about Jerry, and then the pressure is kind of off the football team. And it's annoying for them, but it's better for them to be asked about him and the coach to be able to be like, ah, ignore that. We're going to focus on us, like whatever our owner, than it is to them be asked about how badly they're playing football. This year has felt a little bit different, like the stuff with Sean and RJ, where he went after them, and the stuff with the curtains. Mm-hmm. Like, it just feels like this is not intentional circus Jerry. This is like Jerry can't get out of his own way, or Jerry is, yeah, I hate to say it, but he's 82 years old, like losing it, Jerry. What's the prevailing thought down there on that theory? Because there are enough people, including yourself, who have covered this team long enough, I feel like, to have some semblance of knowing the difference.
Yeah, this there have been moments that have felt maybe a little like I did kind of feel like his I'm going to bring up the curtains myself without anybody asking a question about it. We were done. We were all ready to walk away and go into the locker room and start talking to the players. And he brought it up of his own volition. By the way, we know where the sun is. And off we all went with that line of questioning and why not put up curtains and, you know, the conversation continued along. We were done. So that one did feel a little bit like, hey, you know what? We just got creamed again. Let's talk about something else. And maybe that was an effort to distract. The moment with Sean and RJ did not feel like he was trying to distract or like he was, you know, manipulating the situation to take pressure off his football team. That felt like a genuinely frustrated Jerry Jones that kind of lost control of his own lost control of himself in that moment at the very least, and then to double down the next week when it would have been very easy for him to say, hey, fellas, my bad, I was frustrated, obviously I'm not firing you guys, you know, you guys have been great for anything like that, any sort of comment like that. Instead, he offers no apology whatsoever and says, I don't know what all the fuss was about. What? This has been a very weird season for Jerry Jones and for this franchise. And it's hard to make sense of exactly what is going on because, again, going back to this school of thought, maybe they were just throwing this season away to move on from Mike McCarthy and put a bunch of money in this year and whatever. Is he really in a position where he can throw away a season? Like, yeah. Actuarial tables would suggest that that's not a prudent choice. I'm trying to find a respectful and polite way to vocalize what you're talking about. Like that, the clock is ticking. That is reality. It's the it's the reality for all of us, I suppose. None of us know when that's actually going to happen. But at 82, it's likelier than it is for me at 37. Like it just again, actuarial tables would suggest that. So you're not really in a position where you can be throwing away a season. So I don't think that was the plan coming in. I just don't think that they felt like they needed to go get more. And if that's really what they thought, they were clearly, sadly mistaken because they very obviously need more.
Yeah. Here's the only problem with the actuarial tables with Jerry is there's a large group of people that would tell you that Jerry, somewhere along the line, has already made a deal with the devil. So, you know, there's that. Mike Leslie covering.
He's still kicking around at 106.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, what'd you say about me in 2024 on that radio show, Leslie? That's what I thought. I'll fire you, too. Mike Leslie, WFAA-TV.
Yeah, Leslie, now you're a grandfather. What do you have to say?
Yeah, exactly. In Dallas, always great to join us on anything Cowboys adjacent, any Dallas sports adjacent. Mike, always a pleasure. You making the trip this weekend?
I will be up there. I'm on the charter tomorrow, so I will. We'll have to catch up.
Oh, nice.
A drink or lunch or something.
Yeah, I'll text you. We'll get together. I'll be at the game. Maybe we'll ride there together after breakfast. We'll figure that out. Okay. I'm actually in Ohio right now, so I will be back tomorrow. But we can text about that off the radio. Mike,
safe
always
travel,
a pleasure, sir. I'll see you this weekend. All right, that's Mike Leslie with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, speaking of my travels, a quick story time before we go around the NFL. A week ago, I was not in Columbus, Ohio. I was in Richmond, Virginia, on the verge of running a half marathon and watching my wife run a full marathon. And then, you know who showed up after we got done running? Anthony Haney did. So quick story time about the marathon, because we haven't had a chance to talk about it because I was out most of this week. Next, here on the Hoffman Show.